So what about Mary? How does she respond when Jesus arrives? I can't wait till Jesus gets here. I need a break from my sister. I love her, but she's driving me crazy. She always wants everything to be perfect, which makes her a great host. But seriously, since the guest of honor is Jesus, she's gone from telling me what to do to telling me exactly how to do it. Just because she has a type A personality doesn't mean she's always right. I'd tell her to relax, but we all know how that would go. I get it. I also want Jesus and his disciples to have an amazing time in our house. I want them to love being here, to feel appreciated, and to thoroughly enjoy their meal. In fact, I just wish Jesus lived here. But I know exactly what Martha's like. Even when he arrives, she's still going to be super anxious about having everything ready at exactly the right time. And she is going to see every little detail. And she's going to continue to demand help from me to do the things that I know Jesus isn't going to care about. Of course, he will see all the details, but he won't care if that watermelon is cut into perfect triangles. Martha can sometimes be her own worst enemy. I know she wants to spend time with Jesus, but she thinks she has so much to do to please him that even though God himself will be in our house, she's going to miss spending time with him because she gets so distracted by all the pressure she puts on herself. And not only on herself, but she puts this pressure on me. I know life is busy, but I also know how to find stillness in the midst of it. For some reason, she doesn't, and I feel bad for her because it causes her to miss out on spending time with Jesus. But no matter how frustrated or pouty or anxious she gets, I am not going to forsake time with Christ himself to recut the watermelon. Just because her priorities are different than mine doesn't mean she's right and I'm wrong. Oh my goodness, he's here. I can hear Martha welcoming him in the other room. I'm done. The food can wait. Jesus is here, and I cannot wait to hear what he has to say. I know the disciples are the ones that always sit and listen to him, but I too am a disciple. I believe he is who he says he is. God is in our house, and I cannot waste any time not soaking in everything he has to say. I rush to the other room because I don't want to miss a single moment with him. I can hardly believe I have the privilege of sitting at the feet of Jesus. How many people get to say that Jesus is in their midst or in their home, and he wants to talk directly to them? What an honor it is to be here. I begin to lose track of time. His teaching enraptures me. I love meditating on what he says. Everything he says just cuts deep to my soul. I know there's power in his words. I am beginning to understand more and more what Jesus means when he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone." Everything else pales in view of the surpassing knowledge of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I can tell my sister's getting frustrated with me, but it doesn't matter. I wish she would stop a moment and listen. If she did, if she could take a moment to hear his teaching, she would have an intimate relationship with him. She would finally be able to cease from striving to please him and from finding her worth in her accomplishments. And she would find stillness in the midst of her busyness. Life is busy for the both of us, but the kingdom of God is at hand. I don't want to be with Jesus and not know who he is. He doesn't speak with his own authority, but by the authority of God the Father who dwells in him. How could I possibly find more importance in a to-do list than in taking time in the midst of my busyness to be with him? If I don't take time to know Jesus, I can't know the Father. I wonder if Martha is so caught up in her own expectations of how to serve Jesus that she hasn't bothered to ask him if this is what he wants. Oh, I wish Martha would find rest in Jesus rather than being distracted with all the things that don't matter. So to summarize what I learned from meditating on how two sisters who are both busy with preparing the home and the food for their very special guest respond when Jesus arrives, Martha is distracted and Mary is determined. Martha finds her identity in serving. Mary finds her identity in Jesus. At this point in my personal meditation, I asked the Lord, what do you want me to learn from this passage and apply to my life? Do I find myself relating to Martha? Do I nod my head when I think about all the things that she needed to do and how frustrated she was when her sister wouldn't help her? Do I understand why she asked if the Lord cares? Or do I find myself relating more to Mary? Do I value spending time with Jesus, studying his word, memorizing, meditating, praying, and finding stillness in the midst of my busyness? Do I find more value spending time with him than I do finding value in people in my life or my responsibilities or a variety of other things? And is this demonstrated in the way I prioritize my time? And when life is busy or hard or frustrating or stressful or exciting or fun, am I able to recognize his presence and sense his love and care and provisions and help? And thus my mind is focused on him, so no matter how busy life is, I still find stillness in the midst of it. Well, I am neither Mary or just Martha. I am a combination of both. And depending on my season of life, I may tend to be more like one or the other. So this is probably something none of you have done, but there was a time in my life when I thought I was being very Mary-like, but I was fooling myself. Just before my husband planted Westside, we sold our townhouse in the suburbs and moved into our friend's basement suite in Vancouver. We lived there until we could find a house to rent. During this time, as I'm sure many of you can relate to, it became a full-time job to find a place to live. I was scouring the classifieds and Craigslist, and every day I'd pack up our 2 and 3-year-old boys and just drive around and look for rent signs. And when I would have a chance to walk through a rental, I usually went home seriously disappointed and knew I was going to have to repeat the process again the next day. That said, my life was filled with the regular busyness of a young mom. I was potty training Micah at the time, and that sly devil, oh my gosh, he was hard to nail down. I was constantly cleaning up Cheerios and spills and doing dishes, which, by the way, a dishwasher went onto the must-have list of the house that I was going to rent. There was regular shopping and cooking and going to the park and finding playdates and teaching fitness classes is what pretty much filled up my day. But despite my regular busy routine, I thought I was being a lot like Mary. I was spending a lot of time praying and studying and trying to listen to the Lord. And the main focus of my study time was, help me to know where we're going to live. But then I really grew tired of waiting. And this is what I literally said. Jesus, I am tired of being a Mary. I want permission to be Martha. Do you know what I meant by saying that? I meant, Jesus, yep, I'm tired of waiting on you. Your plan is too slow. I got places to be. I got things to do. And I want out of this dark, dingy basement suite with no dishwasher. I want to make things happen so we can find a place to rent and get on with planting Westside. Lord, don't you care? Don't you care that I've left my home, my community, my friends, my church, my support, my comfort for you? Then it's time to give me somewhere else to live. And although I would have told you I was being like Mary because I truly was spending a lot of time in the Word and in prayer, I actually wasn't being like her. I became discontent with sitting at the feet of Jesus. If I'd truly been sitting at the feet of Jesus, then my heart would have been in alignment with his will. My spirit would have been more Christ-like, and I would have been more content and patient. And as a result of this time of testing, of waiting on the Lord, I realized I was doing all the things I thought I needed to do to get Jesus to do what I wanted him to do. I was trying to manipulate Jesus with my goodness into doing what I wanted. Meanwhile, Jesus knew my heart, and he needed to reveal to me that my time with him had become part of my to-do list rather than what I valued most. I thought I was being like Mary, and I wanted permission to be more like Martha, when all along I was being more like Martha, and Jesus wanted me to be more like Mary. I had deceived myself. Well, what did Jesus have to say to me? It's the same thing he said to Martha. We have looked at the sisters and the scenario and their responses. And finally, we're going to look at the rebuke. We're going to start back at verse 40 to see what Martha was doing. I'm going to read 40 and 41 and 2, I think. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Well, on Sunday morning, Kieta is going to share more from this passage, and she's going to focus on Martha. So she's going to unpack verse 41. So my focus is actually on verse 42, which is the exhortation or explanation of what Jesus wants Martha to do. But before I do this, I just want to say a couple of things about the rebuke. First, what is a rebuke and what is the rebuke? So a biblical rebuke is not to criticize or condemn. It means to prohibit. It's a direct order by a person in authority to stop a specific action with the immediate expectation of complete and total obedience to the order. So then, what did Jesus command Martha to immediately stop doing? Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled. distracted about many things, but only one thing is necessary. Martha, you need to stop being worried and distracted. I never asked you to go over and above and serve in such a way that took you away from being with me. Your service actually makes others think that I demanded this and that I'm a harsh taskmaster. And in the midst of your zeal, your attitude has soured and you have made this all about you. Martha, I want you to do the one thing that's necessary. You are watching your sister and you grew angry. Your heart was not right within you. You are shocked that I, a rabbi, would let a woman sit at my feet. Martha, I have no regard for man-made laws. I want women to come to me. I want you to come to me. And I want you to come in the way that Mary did. You saw how she sat at my feet. She's like a little girl who loves to hear her daddy read to her. So she snuggles up so close that she is actually sitting on his feet. Mary's posture is that of submission and expectation. She longs to hear from me, and this will not be taken away from her. My words never return empty or void. Martha, I want this for you. Right now, I desire your presence, not your service. When you hear the tender words of Jesus, do you hear him talking to you? Do you listen for his voice and listen to it? And do you love to do this? To quote one pastor, is listening to his voice something you can't get enough of? If the word of God is preached, do you want to hear it? Or is Jesus saying to you, I'm concerned with who you're spending time with because you aren't spending time with me? When in the midst of life busyness, why do some people question if the Lord cares while others find stillness? The answer to the question is seen in studying the sisters, the scenario, their responses, and the rebuke. Mary and Martha were two sisters who couldn't wait for Jesus to arrive. They were busy ladies with much to do. They both wanted to listen to him teach, but one chose not to. Martha didn't take the time to sit at his feet and to listen to what Jesus cared about. She knew Jesus, but she didn't take the time to get to know him. She made more of her serving than it needed to be, which prevented her from doing the very thing necessary for her to know that, yes, Martha, Jesus cares. He cares more than you could ever comprehend. Jesus was about to go to the cross and give his life up for her. But she didn't understand this because she didn't take time to sit under the authority of the very word of God and listen. Her service to Jesus took her away from spending time with the very word of God. Mary chose to do the one thing that's necessary. Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus so she could hear what God himself has to say. Mary experiences stillness in the midst of busyness because she knew that the Lord cared about her. Finally, this brings us to question two. How can we find stillness in the midst of life's busyness? The answer is found in what Jesus tells Martha to do. Do the one thing that's necessary. This is the command for all Christians. We are to put our greatest value on spending time with Jesus. If we don't, we are missing out on that which is best. Like Martha, we can know Jesus, but we won't know him intimately. Which means that no matter what our life circumstances are, we will not find stillness in the midst of them. For I find stillness in truly knowing that Jesus cares about me. And I know this by studying the Word of God and believing it and obeying what it says. Because Mary sat at his feet and listened, she knew Jesus would give himself up to die. So anyone who believed that he is God would be saved. And how do I know that she knew this? She was the only one to anoint him for burial. The week before he dies, when Jesus comes to visit again, she pours out the most costly perfume all over him and wipes it with her hair. Why does she do this? She's anointing him. It is a beautiful moment of the realization that all he's been teaching, she's been listening to and believing would happen. And it did. That Friday, he died on the cross. But praise God, on Sunday, he rose himself up from that grave. And in so doing, he conquered sin and Satan and death. Mary does the one thing that's necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. What is the one thing? The good portion? She chose Christ. Her hope and faith are in Jesus. Why, though, is this the one thing that is necessary? Because if we don't know and believe the Word of God, then we will die in our sins. Jesus is our hope and our salvation. He tells us how we can have a relationship with him and enter into heaven. And when we choose to put our hope and faith in Jesus, our salvation will not be taken away. In Romans 8, 38 and 39, it says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So, have you chosen the one thing that is necessary? Have you put your faith and hope in Jesus? If not, but you would like to, or you just might want to know more, I would encourage you to either talk to me or someone who you already know here or one of the table group leaders, because they sure would like to talk more about Jesus. But if you have chosen the one thing that is necessary, then, to quote Charles Spurgeon, "What are you striving for? If it is for anything other than the one thing, you will not have stillness. But if the one thing that matters is sitting at Jesus' feet, walking in obedience, then you know whatever is in your life is not meant to be a distraction. It is not the most important thing." Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so very much for caring about each one of us. Thank you that you died that we might know you. Father, you know we love the dark. You know that we do not seek you until you first seek us. And so I pray that you, in your seeking, will be heard, that women who do not know you would have a very strong sense that what was taught is truth, and that they would believe that you would open up their eyes to see the reality that Jesus, you are God, and we can be saved because of what you did on the cross. Those of us that know you, we all say thank you for choosing us before the foundation of the world to be adopted as your daughters and for sealing us with your Spirit. Please help us to want to spend time with you. Please help us to love you more and more. Please help us to crave you above all else. Please help us to recognize things that are distractions that aren't meant to be, and that we would know that you care about us. You care about the details in our life. And help us to know what you want us to take away from our time this weekend. What is the one thing you want us to learn? What is the one thing you want us to do? So I pray that we will continue to have ears to hear what your Spirit has to say, and that we would walk in obedience to that. In your name I pray. Amen.